Man, of course, can run around and try and make his great attempts in conveying who God is, conveying the heart of God, conveying the mind of God. And that's why we have so many religions in the world today. They're all man-based, thus inconsistent, based on the opinions of man, the heart of man. You can follow those religions, or you can discover the revelation of your Creator, the plan of your Creator, as the Holy Spirit, who knows God, because He is God, knows God better than you ever will, better than I ever will, and we will trust and receive that take on God.
You know, many of us know that God is all-wise, all-knowing. God does not have to learn anything, doesn't have to sign up for a night class. Now, knowing that reality about God, why is it that we have such a hard time embracing God's wisdom and asking for it? Lance Cook will talk about that today on Seeds of Commitment as we continue our studies in 1 Corinthians. Today we'll be looking further at chapter 2, where Paul the Apostle deals with a number of reasons why trusting in the wisdom of God is far better than man's philosophy. With today's broadcast of Seeds of Commitment, here's Lance. It
says in verse 4 at the latter part, "Man, I was there in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit." That word demonstration means a legal proof presented in court. Man, when you began to look at my ministry, who I was around you, when you began to look at the proof, the evidence, it was not the power or the might of man. It was the power and the might of God. It was the Holy Spirit using me. It was the Holy Spirit using the message that was preached that brought the change in lives. Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to that church, or chapter 1, verse 5, "Our gospel, when it came to you, did not come in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." Paul knew that human words of wisdom, no matter how impressive, no matter how, you know, persuasive, would not have accomplished God's end, would have robbed the gospel of its power. He saw no place for calculated human techniques that would manipulate, you know, response of man. We, like Paul, need to put our faith in the power of God. We need to keep our faith in the power of God. Our world is much like Paul's. It's very clever, yet very sinful. And we will not win them over with the philosophy of man, with the power or the ability of man. We will not win them over with the theory of man. Our faith and our message must be seen as that from above. Jesus said in John chapter 12, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." So man must get out of the picture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. So don't trust in me, Paul says. Trust in the Lord. God needs to be lifted up. We need not just pastors, not just church leaders. We need Christians that brag a whole lot about their God, that point a whole lot to God. And our friends and our relatives that don't know the Lord, but need to know the Lord, there it is, they need to see our passion for the Lord, that we depend on the Lord. The decisions that we make are from the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He delights in His way. And although he falls, he shall not be cast down, for the Lord will uphold him with His hands. But you've got to be that person that's determined to allow the Lord to lead you and to guide you. People need to see that. They need to see our dependence upon the Lord and not man. Well, Paul goes in verse 6. We got to move on. "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak," and again, he's contrasting the wisdom of God with the wisdom of the world and the end results of both. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Paul says, now understand, you know, although this is a very simple message. We do speak wisdom to those that are mature. And the word mature there, identifying those who understand the message, those that receive the message. In the Greek, again, it's the word teleos, and it basically describes a complete member. When used, teleos, in reference to a believer, it means someone that is complete in Christ. They're saved. They're born again. They're experiencing the fullness of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. They're walking victorious. They're complete as a member of the body of Christ. He says, to those, the gospel is seen as wisdom. But to all others, as Paul said in chapter 1, verse 23, it's a stumbling block. Verse 18, it's foolishness. Preaching of the cross, it's not something that is unintelligent. It's simple, but it's not unintelligent. God's plan for mankind is wise, and those that accept it are wise. The plan of God is so simple that the illiterate pagan can grasp it. While at the same time, that very same message, it's equally brilliant enough that the brightest theologians are boggled by its depths. So the Christian is no fool. The Christian is wise. He is wise because he has chose to believe and receive the greatest of wisdom, the revelation of God. Something, as Paul says in the latter part of verse 6, the rulers of this age miss. Now we all know that it is impossible for a lesser creature to understand a more advanced one. How can anything understand something more complex and advanced than itself? For a flea to understand a dog, it would of course need to be at least as advanced as a dog. For a dog to understand the man, it would need to be as advanced at least as a man. How much greater the distance between the Creator and the creature? God's wisdom, the truth about Him, and His message for man is a wisdom not of this age. It's not from man. It is not from the rulers of this age. True wisdom, as Paul says, the wisdom that we speak, the revelation of God, the truth of God, His wisdom is from God. And we must, as Christians, value it to that end. God's wisdom, His truth, His revelation is not something He just kind of makes up along the way. Oh yes, as Paul says, it has been hidden there. It has been hidden. But it's a mystery, as he says in verse 7. Not a mystery you can't understand, but in the Greek that means a hidden secret that has a time to be revealed. And Paul says that this particular truth about God, His plan for man, He ordained that we would get it, that we would receive it for this time, for our habitation. And we should be excited and appreciative because of that. He didn't hold it back. He revealed it. Now, that same wisdom that we've received was not respected and accepted by the men of this age. He says in verse 8, the crucifixion is proof that the rulers of this age did not have God's wisdom. Had they understood God's wisdom, the plan of God, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. They missed it. Paul supports his point in verse 9 by saying, quoting Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, a lot of times we pull that scripture out of our promise box as a promise. But Paul's not using it so much in the positive as a promise. Paul is using this to declare his point. His point is that the natural eye, the natural ear, and the natural heart of man cannot know or comprehend the wisdom of God. God has prepared that for those who will love Him. Now, just as an illustration, if we have a loved one or a friend or someone that we know who is not saved, they're not born again. We are born into this world of dichotomy, a body and a soul. The spirit's dead. Something that's dead will not grasp, will not understand. Doesn't have the capacity. The natural man doesn't have the capacity in and of itself. It's dead. The corpse needs help, you see, if it's to experience any type of life. We're born into this world in that state, in that natural state. God could have left us in that natural state. But He designed a plan. He originated the plan. And He initiated the plan. And He extended the plan as He gave us His Son. And then He gave us the Holy Spirit to draw us towards that plan. God's part was putting within us a desire to know Him. God's part was putting an emptiness within us until we would find Him. And so we're made with this body, soul, spirit's dead. But in the body and the soul, in the mind and the consciousness, in the soul, there is this desire to know God. And God has not hidden Himself like a hide-and-go-seek, try and find me. God has revealed Himself so you can find Him through creation, through His Word, through His Son. And if that's not enough, to that heart that seeks Him, they will be found by Him. He will come and do what you never can do. You could not produce regeneration. You could not quicken your soul alive. You could not put God's Spirit in you. You don't have that capacity. God does that too. He simply responds to faith. He sees your belief and your trust. He sees your saying yes to Him. And then He comes in and says, let's go for it. And He makes residence in your heart. And He makes your spirit alive. And you're born again. You're born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, that which is flesh, man, it's flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And only those that are born of the Spirit, Nicodemus, are going to go to heaven. And God, of course, reveals this to people, as I said here. He prepares that for those who love Him. The natural eye doesn't see God. The natural ear doesn't hear God. The natural heart does not open up to God. So what happens? God comes and reveals Himself. He gives the evidence. He gives the message through people like Paul, through men like me. And you have the evidence. And you're like a jury sitting there looking at the evidence of God. You have the proof, you have the evidence, and you either believe or you don't. But when you believe, you begin to love. I love my wife. And it's more than just words that I say. My love for her is opening up my life to her. My love for her is allowing all of who she is and all of what she has to come in and affect my life. That is how I love her. I open up my life to her. Yes, I give to her and I initiate to her, but I am open to that oneness and that intimacy because I love her. God is looking for that openness in His creation. And He reveals His knowledge. He extends Himself and His grace and all of His goodness, His forgiveness, His eternal plan. He gives that to all who will simply say, yeah, let's go for it. I see the evidence. I see that You've initiated the love, and love demands a response. And here it is. Take my life. And that's what Paul is saying. He goes on in verse 10 and gives us the clear breakdown of this, where he says, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And then he gives a great illustration here to help us understand his point. He says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Simply stated, God, you know, Paul says, now God has revealed who He is. He has revealed Himself to us. That's revelation, guys. God's part is revelation, inspiration, and illumination. And I'll close with those three points. We'll read a couple more verses, but it all ties in. Simply stated, God has chosen to reveal Himself to us through His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, okay? And then reveals those things to us. And to help us understand that, Paul gives us an illustration that I think we all can identify with. He says, now, who really knows the mind of a man? Who really knows you better than yourself? You could be married to someone for 75 years. You know them real well, but you don't know them as well as they know themselves. Now, I think we can all follow that line of logic. Paul says, the same is true with God. Who knows God better than God? We serve a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who knows God better than Himself? God reveals Himself. God reveals God by the Spirit. Man, of course, can run around and try and make his great attempts in conveying who God is, conveying the heart of God, conveying the mind of God. And that's why we have so many religions in the world today. They're all man-based, thus inconsistent, based on the opinions of man, the heart of man. You can follow those religions. You can follow the writings of Buddha, a man. You can follow that and try and discover karma and the spiritual side of that religion. You can follow that whole process of coming back as a butterfly or whatever the trip might be. Or you can discover the revelation of your Creator, the plan of your Creator, as the Holy Spirit, who knows God because He is God, knows God better than you ever will, better than I ever will, and we will trust and receive that take on God. Now, how do we receive that take on God? Well, that's where we come down from revelation to inspiration. How does God speak to us through inspiration? Of course, we know that all Scripture in 2 Timothy 3 is inspired by God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I love those conversations with people that find out what I do. They're not a believer, and the first thing they go after is, well, I don't believe the Word of God is accurate. Really? Why not? Well, I believe there's errors. Really? Which one? I've not had anybody, by the way, be able to even quote one, let alone go, oh, by the way, see this marked up chapter that I studied? Right here, I found one. I haven't found one of those guys yet, and you won't. But then they go down this path. I love it. That book that you read, that book that you teach, it's written by men, all kinds of different men. And they, of course, equate those authors of the Bible, that those men that were used, they equate their ability and their capacity to write inerrantly based on their own capacity to write inerrantly. And we can't. It'd be impossible. And so I always go, well, there lies the problem. You've never met the author of the Bible. And they'll say, what? And you have? Sure I have. Known personally, intimately, talk to him every day. And I'll take them right over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, this is what the author of the Bible says about the Bible. The author of the Bible is God, and he says that he inspired it. You know what that means, by the way? God breathed. God breathed it through the hearts of these men, and they penned down what God said. That's inspiration. So, saints, we have the wisdom of God in contrast to the wisdom of the world. We see the two end results of those particular courses. And we look back to God's wisdom, and we realize what it provides in and through my life. It brings me the message of salvation. Without the inspiration, I wouldn't have it. Without the revelation, I wouldn't have it. But then comes the illumination. The illumination is the third step in the Spirit's transmitting God's truth to me. Do you realize it is possible to read the Bible and not understand it? It is possible to study the Bible for many, many years, many, many years, and even memorize much of it and still not know the author of it? It's true. The scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day were highly trained in the Old Testament. It would not have been uncommon for a Pharisee, especially a high-ranking Pharisee, a well-learned, highly religiously educated individual, to have had a good portion, if not all, of the Torah memorized, the first five books of the Old Testament memorized. Books that talked about the plan of God, books that clearly portray the plan of redemption and who the Messiah is. They would have known the Psalms. They would have known the prophets, all the writings. But the Pharisees looked into the eyes of the Son of God. They looked into the eyes and felt the hands and could smell the body odor of the Son of God. They were that close. The Son of God, the Messiah, that the Scriptures had pointed them to. They got it here. But there's 18 inches between getting it here and receiving it here. It did not come into their heart. It did not bring them to a point of embracing the author. The natural man, in verse 14, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they be known by them, because they're spiritually discerned. God's Word is spiritually evaluated. It's spiritually discerned. It's spiritually understood. And the natural man is spiritually dead. They don't have a clue. The psalmist understood the need for God's illumination of His Word when he prayed, "Open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things from Your law," in Psalm 119, verse 18. He realized his need for the Lord to help him understand and comprehend the Word. I'm one of those guys that I take great pride in my driving. What I mean by that is when I get in my car, if you ride with me, I like to drive. I don't like being co-pilot. I don't like riding with you. I like to drive. I enjoy driving. And I like to go places without instructions. Do we have any guys like that around here? Just, okay, all guys, plead with me. All the wives are all. I'm not asking you to get saved. I'm asking you to be honest, all right? Salvation's in a minute. But I'm one of those guys that I just... Hey, Lance, you need to go over. There's this funeral over here. Go, yeah, okay. You know where that's at? Yeah, I got it. You know how many funerals I've been late to because I got it? It's probably pride. I just like to think I've got it, and I know how to get there, and I've got the roadmap down in my mind, and I'm just that way. And if you're here, and you're not born again, you're not a Christian, you're just like me in the spiritual sense. God has the map. God has designed the way to get to Him, the only way. There's one road. It's His map. It's got to be on His terms. But if you're here and you're not born again, I'm sure that over the years you've heard the need for God. Maybe you've even felt the wooing of God. But you sat back just like me in my pride and driving and just kind of went, I got it. I don't need the roadmap. I don't need the blueprint. And that's why you don't like to pick up the Word of God, by the way. Don't think that it's just your distaste in reading. Hornhead exists. Satan exists. And Satan would never want you to pick up that roadmap. That is the living Word of God, that if you were to pick it up, you would begin to discover God. You would begin to open your eyes. You would begin to have your ears touched by the very living Word of God. And Satan is trying to keep you away from that. If you're here and not born again, you've been saying no to your invitation of your friends and relatives. Don't just think it's you've got something better. Man, there's a spiritual battle for your soul. Satan does not want you to come here and hear this kind of message. He does not want you to come here and hear the truth. For you Christians that are walking a life of carnality and you're growing cold and distant from God, Satan does not want you to pick up the Bible. He does not want you to humble yourself and say, God, speak to me. Give me your revelation. He does not want you to study the roadmap and see how far off the road you've gotten. Doesn't want you to. Doesn't want you coming into a setting like this in front of some young guy that's just bold enough to talk from his heart. And just let the Holy Spirit speak and allow you to be convicted. He doesn't want you to do that. Definitely not on a Wednesday night. Definitely not more than once a week. Definitely not in the home, must I continue. But I'm here to tell you, we better start as a church, as Christians and even non-believers. If you're here in the morning, I'll give you a chance to pray in a minute. But we better start valuing God's revelation, His inspiration, and His illumination. Because where would we be without it? Where would we be? Not saved. Paul says that we would still be stuck in our sins, subject to the wrath of God. James chapter 1, turn with me over there. We'll close our time together this morning reading this verse 21. God must open the eyes of our understanding. God must open up the eyes of our understanding before we can truly know and rightly interpret His truth. And it's only as the Holy Spirit opens up our understanding and opens up our minds that we'll ever be saved. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching as an instrument of opening man's minds to the things of the Spirit of God. And here, verse 21 of James chapter 1, it puts it quite simply, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and here it is, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. God's Word, which is living and powerful, He wants to plant that in your heart. His Holy Spirit will respond to a heart that says, come in. To a voice that cries out and says, I need you. To that heart, to that life, the Holy Spirit will take God's truth and implant it into your heart. And that truth will bring spiritual life. So many religions of the world put the responsibility on man. What you must do, what you've got to do. Christianity, apart from all of the religions in the world, it's all based on who God is and it's all based on what He will do.
Well, today on Seeds of Commitment, Lance Cook has been teaching us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 as we've been looking at Paul's reasoning for trusting in the wisdom of God and why it's far better to trust in God's wisdom than man's philosophy. Now, if you'd like to receive this study on audio cassette or compact disc in its entirety, mention the tape number when you correspond with us. The tape number is 4602-06. That's 4602-06. For credit card purchases, simply call us at 714-441-2845. Again, that number is 714-441-2845. If you're writing a check to us, make it payable to Seeds of Commitment. The address is 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. And if you'd like to get all of our contact information, again, simply go to our website. The address is www.seedsofcommitment.org. It's there you can know more about our ministry and as well as leave us your comments via email. And when you leave an email, please make sure you mention the call letters of the radio station you listen to. Again, log on to www.seedsofcommitment.org. And then please make it a point to join us for our next broadcast of Seeds of Commitment as Lance Cook continues his studies in 1 Corinthians. Until then, may God bless you as you stay committed to the Word of God.